Good morning, everybody. This Shabbos is Parshas Yisro. The Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting and judging the people all day long, min ha-boiker ad ha-erev. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, is that humanly possible? All day long, min ha-boiker ad ha-erev. So the Gemara says, no, that adayin ha-don den emes lamitoi is not so shut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but ma'aseh bereishis. In Bereishis it says, v'hi-erev ha-boiker yom rishon, v'yom-echad, v'hi-erev ha-boiker yom sheni. And here it says also the expression min ha-boiker ad ha-erev means because Moshe Rabbeinu was judging properly, don din emes lamito, he was not so shut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Maisa Bereishis. What exactly does that mean? So this is quoted in the tour at the beginning of opening paragraph in Chosha Mishpat, and he quotes the Mishnah in the first parak in Pirkei Avos, al shlosha dvarim ha-olam kayom. There are two Mishnayos, both in the first Perek and Pirkei Avos. The one Mishnah says, then later in the end of the first Perek, you have Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Kayom. Some of Farshim think that it's a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether the Shlosha Dvarim are Emes Din and Shalom or Torah Ba'avodah Gemilas Chasodim. The Bar Tanura suggests that it's not a contradiction. It's not a machlokes hatanaim. They're talking about two different things. Shlosha dvarim ha'olam ma'amen means what is the tachlis of the bria? What was the purpose of the creation? So the Mishnah says, "Ala Torah v'alavodah gemilas chasadim." Like the opening Rashi, Ala Torah quotes from the Medrash, "Bereishis bara lekim." Bereishis does mean in the beginning. The simple pshat means in the beginning. But an additional pshat means Bishvil Reishis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis, and Yirmiya B'nai Yisrael referred to Reishis, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvoasai, and the Torah is considered Hashem Kanani Reishis Darko, the Torah is considered Reishis. So the Torah was created, the world was created in order that the Jews should learn the Torah and keep all the mitzvahs, Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil HaTorah. So that's the first, the earlier Mishnah in the first parak in Pirkei Avos. The purpose of the creation was Torah avoiding Gemilas Chasadim. Surely so, b'shvil mitzvos haTorah. But the Mishnah at the end of the first parak that says Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Kayam, that just means technically you have to have Emes Din and Shalom. If you don't have Emes Din and Shalom, the whole world is going to collapse. We're not talking about what is the purpose of the creation, what keeps the world going. So since Dayan Hadon Din Emes Lamitoi is Din, and that's one of the Shlosha Dvarim that Olam Kayam, Ala Emes Vala Din Vala Shalom. You have to have Emes, and you have to have Don Din Emes Lamitoi and Din. So that's why he's Nasu Shuta B'Hakadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereishis. He's partnering with the Ribbono Shel Olam to keep the world going. So Yisro asked Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma Dor B'Azal She'ata Oisa Nevol Tibol, it's not a good idea. So Moshe Rabbeinu explains how he's functioning over here. Rabbeinu Bar Ilan has a brief essay where he writes that he asked. Rabbeinu Bar Ilan was the son of the Netziv and the second wife. The second wife was the daughter of the Orach HaShulchan. So Rabbeinu Bar Ilan writes, he once was discussing with his grandfather, the Orach HaShulchan, and with several others, with Rabbi Foil Valoshina, Rabbi Foil Shapira, the son-in-law of the Netziv, and Rabbi Chaim, they were all at the same time, what is the, supposed to be the role of the rabbi? So he says, the Orach HaShulchan was always Paskan Shalas. So he said, the role of the rabbi is to Paskan Shalas. I think he says, he asked Rabbi Foil Valoshina, and said, the role of the rabbi is sit and learn. Then he asked Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, what's the role of the rabbi? So he said, the role of the rabbi is to do chesed. Rabbi Chaim felt that the main role of the rabbi in the community is to do chesed. Rabbi Chaim left instructions that after he dies, they should write on his matseva that he's isha chesed. They shouldn't write that he was Rosh Hashanah. They shouldn't write that he was such a big Talmid Chacham, that he was a rabbi, just isha chesed. And he told his children that he wasn't born like that. He felt that he was born with a mean streak, And he overcame that meanness by working on his midas, and he became an Isha Chesed. So our Salvechi guy seemed to remember, pointed out that in this pasuk, when Yisro asks Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you doing all day long? And I break her out there. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki avoy elai ha'am posik tezvav in Perek Yutches, Ki avoy elai ha'am lidro shalakim. So lidro shalakim, one can interpret, he davens on behalf of the people. Ki elahem dova boy elai b'shafatati, he takes care of dini Torah. So it means that he teaches them Torah. So the Rav Soloveitchik, I seem to remember that he said that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that there are three roles of the rabbi. One role is to daven on behalf of the people, to be a manik, to take care of their needs. One is to judge, to take care of the Torah. That's what he was doing here. And I break out of Arab. And a third role is to teach the Torah, but it's not that just teaching the Torah is the whole story. It's interesting, there is a tshuva in the Avnei Nezer. All the tshuvas in the Avnei Nezer have numbers, number 1, 2, 3, and so on. There's one tshuva in Chelek Yeridei, Chelek Beis, where he has a number and he has a title, Sheish Ma'alas Lakisei. Shlomo HaMelech had a throne and there were 6 steps to walk up to the throne. So the tshuva is about a situation where a rabbi passed away. And he had a son who was learned, who could yarshin the rabbanis, and he had a son-in-law. So the discussion is I think the Balabatim liked the son-in-law more than they liked the son. So the shaila was who should yarshin the position. So he has the tshuva is divided into 6 sections. He has to overcome 6 hurdles before he comes to the conclusion as who should yarshin the rabbanis. So the first step that he discusses is the Yerushan Rabbanus. Then he discusses how can the son-in-law Yarshan, the daughter, what do you mean? Son-in-law should Yarshan through the daughter, but the daughter can't be the rabbi. They didn't have a concept of having a woman rabbi. They couldn't imagine such a thing. So he has all the 6 steps. So the first issue he discusses that Torah is not Birusha. That's how the Gemara said, Torah is not Birusha. So why should there be Yerusha on Rabbanus? So he explains because the Gemara has an expression, man malki rabbanon. The rabbis are like a melech, bisman hazeh. The role of the rabbi years ago when they had real smicha, so the role of a rabbi who had smicha was the paskan shailas. The tanraim, the amoraim, they were coming up with new dinim. Today, the role of the rabbi is not the paskan shailas. All of the shailas were ready, always gepaskan. Everything is in Shulchan Aruch. Or you have big Moira Hira in every generation. There's some major Paskin and Shad, but it's not the role of every rabbi. The role of the rabbi is to function for his community like a melech. And the melech says a pasach in Mishle, melech ben mishpat yam and eretz v'ish trumas yahar seno. The Gemara talks about that pasach. So melech ben mishpat yam and eretz, that the role of the king is to maintain law and order. So that's the role of the rabbi today, to take care of all of the needs of the community, to maintain law and order. I remember one of the rabbonim, there was once a conference of the rabbinic alumni, so one of the rabbonim said he views his role as maintaining peace in the shul, that the balabatim shouldn't kill each other, who should have the right to daven for an omer, to say kaddish, and so on. So I thought it was a joke. And then years later, I came across this tshuva d'Avnei Nezer. He says, yeah, that's the main role of the rabbi today. Real rabbi with smicha. So Torah is not Birusha. Torah doesn't go Birusha. So to be a Rebbe in a yeshiva, that shouldn't go Birusha. But to be the rabbi in a community, that's really the Torah's Malchus. That's the rabbi's functioning, Malki Rabbanon. He's functioning like a melech, and Malchus does go Birusha. That's a pasuk in Chumash. L'man yami yomi ma'amar achtuhu bonav b'ker Yisrael. The Gemara learns that from that pasuk. Hu bonav. That Malchus does go Birusha. When they set up the court system here, that Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to appoint Sari Alohim, Sari Meres, Sari Chamishim, Sari Asaris. So the pasuk said, "B'shoftu esa'am b'chaleis." What does it mean, b'chaleis? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has the Torah Shema Ped Darshan b'chaleis all day and all night. You can have a din Torah at night also. But there's another pasuk in Chumash Devarim. It says Kisiyena Lishte Nashim. Says the Biyom Hanchilas Bana Bayom Balo Balailo. The Gemara said, what do you mean Bayom Balo Balailo? The Gemara says, you mean to tell me that if a person dies at night, his property doesn't go Birusha to the children, it becomes Hefka? That's ridiculous. So what do you mean Bayom Balo Balailo? The Gemara says, no, Shlosha Shnichnas Ulavakaris Achayla. And the Chayla wants to make a Tzavoy. He wants to change the proportions of the Yerusha. Let's say he has three sons. So one son is in business, he's doing very well. Two sons are sitting and learning. So if he has a lot of money, so the one is in business is doing well. The two are in learning, they're not making so much money. So instead of giving one third, he wants to give two fifths, and one fifth. It may be a stupid idea. Maybe that the son, only the son who's in business is doing well, will never forgive his father for cheating him. In the Yerusha, maybe it's not a smart thing to do. But the Torah says, "Biyam hanchilas banav haTorah nostam shus lav lahanchil l'chol misha yirtze." From the sons who are in line to get Yerusha, so the father has a right to change the proportions. If a man dies and he leaves sons and daughters, so the sons, let's say I have six daughters and three sons, and one son is in business and two sons are in learning. So the daughters are not in line to get anything. So he cannot leave it tzavoah. I want all of the nine children to get an equal share. The daughters are not in line to get anything. But from the three sons that he has, and each son is in line to get one third, to get something, so then Halacha says he can change the proportions. So let's say the Shlosha Shenichnasu Levakar HaSachayla, three people went to visit the Chayla. On his deathbed, he makes a tzavoah. And the Torah gives him the right to make the tzavoah. The Gemara is not sure whether that din, that's Rabbi Yechon Mabrokes din in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yechon Mabrokes, we paskin like him, that the father has the right, the man is about to die, has a right to change the proportions of the Yerusha. So the Gemara has a suffix, is that only when he's holding by the end? He's not a Geisis, but he's a Shechid Meiram. The din of Divya Shechid Meiram Kiksun Chim Surin Domi, that's only Midir Rabbanim. That's if he wants to give matana to someone not in line to get Yerusha. So that's a din midir rabbanan. He says, I want to give $1,000 to Pliny. So Pliny is kinda, even though they didn't make any kinyan. But here it's a din deraisa. He can change the proportions of the Yerusha. But the Gemara has a sreika didina. It's a suffix. The Gemara is not pushed the suffix. Whether the din only applies when he's holding by the end, when he's a Shechid Meiram, when he's sick in bed, or even when he's 50 years old and he makes a will, he's not holding by dying at all. Here's another 70 years to go to Me'avi Asim Shana. So the Gemara is misupik. So we pass Kamisafik that the ability of the father, of the Morish, to make a tzavot, to change the proportions, is only when he's holding by the end. So let's say people come to visit him, and he makes the tzavot on his deathbed. So then it's binding. So the Gemara said, that's only if he makes the tzavoah in the daytime. Gemara said, what do you mean? He makes the tzavoah at nighttime. It's not binding. It doesn't make sense. Gemara says, no. Shlosha shnichnasu levakar esachayla. They have the right to add three strangers, not related, not relatives. Three people come to visit the chayla. So, and they heard the tzavoah from the chayla himself, from the Shechid Meirah. So Rotzu Oisem Din, if they want to, they can function as Dayanim, but that's only if they visited him, Nebakar Sochel Bayoim. If they visited Balaila, not because a Kviyas Yeshivas Bezin can only, Trilas Kviyas Yeshivas Bezin can only take place by Yom, and not Balaila. Aye, but the Pasuk here says, B'shofto Sam B'chol Eis. Mor says, no, Donim Bayom, the Garmin Balaila. That's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Beis. There are Asura Chilukim, there are 10 differences between Mamanus and Nefasha. So this is one of the differences, that in Dini Mamanus, the Kviyas Yeshivas Bezin has to begin by Yom. But once the Yeshivas Bezin began by Yom, they can continue into the night. But you can't have a Trilas Yeshivas Bezin Balayla, unless they're Mekabel. If the Baladinim, let's say the Baladinim work a whole day, and they can't, they don't want to take off time from their work hours to go to a dinter. So if they want, look, the Mishnah hasn't said, Nama lai abba, nama lai avicha, nama namala shlosha roi boker. I accept my father as a witness. If my father says that I owe the money, I'll pay the money. So even though the father is pasalaitis, the baladinim can be mekabel a pasalait. I can be mekabel shlosha roi boker. Three shepherds. The shepherds are amei haaretz. They don't know how to paskin. They don't know dinim. But if they both baladinim accepted the psak of the local amei haaretz, So if you're mekabel seder, then psak is binding. So here also, if the baladinim agree to accept the psak balayla, is also good. That's not a problem. But if they don't accept it, if they're not mekabel the psul of layla, then the tchilas yeshiva is bezna, has to be dafke bayom. I remember when we were learning that din, so Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, where do you see another place where tchilas yeshiva is bezna plays a role? Kviyas yeshiva is bezna. They quoted the Mishnah in Bava Metzia and then the Perek Hazov, Chomish Prutas Heim. There are five dinim that depend on a Shavu Prutas, and one of the dinim is, you can't start the Kviyas yeshiva is bezna if the whole din Torah is on less than a Shavu Prutas. If they were... You have to have a minimum. Let's say if I owe you $1,000 and I paid $999.99 and I owe you still a half a penny. I have to pay you the leftover half a penny. I'm going to pay you all the money. But you can't have a bezin bikoveya if the whole dintor that they start off with is less than a shavar puta. But if they start off on a dintor of $25, then one of the parties can bring up an issue that not only that, but you owe me also less than the Shavu Puta because I sold you some merchandise and you never fully paid me. You still owe me a pachas from Shavu Puta. So if you owe the pachas from Shavu Puta, you got to pay, and the bezin can give a psak on it. But they don't do a tchilas yeshivas bezin. The Rav Soloveitchik said, you see from that din over there, the same din over here, the kviyas yeshivas bezin has to be bayom. Once the yeshivas bezin begins bayom, then you continue. You can continue into the Laila. So the Gemara interprets the psukim here that Yisro is recommending to Moshe Rabbeinu should set up this whole system, the court system. They can paskan on the easy cases, and Dabra Gadol, you have to paskan. What's a Dabra Gadol? When it involves more than $1 million. Dabra Kotans were less than $1 million. What's a Dabra Gadol? So the Gemara interprets Dvarab Shel Gadol. If the Din Torah is with respect to the Melech or with respect to the Kohen Gadol, so if it's money, a monetary issue, that's a Dabra Kotan, that you don't need the Moshe Rabbeinu. But if it's Din in the Fashis on the Melech or Din in the Fashis on the Kohen Gadol, Dabra Gadol Shel Gadol, so that you need Ayin Aleph. Then you need the Sanhedrin Gdol, because Moshe Rabbeinu had the din. Moshe Rabbeinu Mamakam Ayin Aleph Koi. So that's how the Gemara interprets the Torah Shabbat Pan, interprets the Pasuk like that. You have to bring to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of Sanhedrin Gdol. Mamakam Ayin Aleph Koi. But Adaba HaKotan, if it's din imaminus of the Melech or the Kohen Gadol, or if it's din in the fashas of a private person, of the head yod, not a melech, not a kohen gadol, then you put to him that you don't need the bezna gadol for that. Then the parsha begins, Revi starts the story. Ma'amen haseinu b'chodesh ha'shlishi, he says, when there's a time, v'yam ha'zabol midbar Sinai, and the Torah is going to tell about Ma'amen haseinai. The Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash and Parshas Vayeschanan, as well as in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Ramban thinks that the Rambam forgot to count the following mitzvah. It says in Parshas Vayeschanan, Shama l'chosh manav shmachayot, Pentishka chazadvar m'sharu v'aynecha v'nisurim l'vavcha kol yimei chayecha, v'hidaitem l'vanecha v'levnei v'anecha yom asher amadita l'vnei Hashem alakecha b'choreif. So Ramban understands that just like the Gemara seems to say, come out explicitly, that there's a din of Parsha Zohar Deraisa. You have to learn Zohar Srasa Lucha Molech. Zohar doesn't just mean to remember Belev, because it says at the end, Lois Ishkoch, Hare Belev Oma, Hamani Mekam Zohar. Zohar means Bepeh. What do you mean Bepeh? That the word Zohar does mean to remember. The verb Zayin Chof Reish sometimes means to remember, sometimes means Lahazikir, to mention. So Zohar Srasa Lucha Molech means you should mention what Amolech did. How do you mention? By Kriya Mitoch HaKsav, the Gemara says you have to learn from a kosher a Sefer Torah. We have Machmer that has to be even Betzibur, because the Truma Sadesh and Shulchan Aruch and the Simon at the end of Arachayim, when they have the Simon, the chapter about Parsha Zohar, so they quote the Truma Sadesh and Hara Haychacha from the Rosh, that you need the Kriya Satorah Basora for the purpose of Parsha Zohar. That's a Chiddush. Okay, that's a Chiddush. So the Ramban says, just like there's a din deraisa, you have to learn Parsha Zohar, And the mother Balkori lanes, he's mitzi everybody with the din of Shemei Koila, like Mikra and Megillah, Yotze with Shemei Koina. So too, you have to lane Parshas Maimon Hasina. Maimon Hasinai is Maimon Hasina and Yetzias Mitzrayim are the two major historical events that are the basis of our religion, our ancestors. There were Shishim Ribo men between the age of 20 and 60. There were probably Shishim Ribo women also between the age of 20 and 60. Then there were people younger than 20, people older than 60. Then there was Erev Rav. There were several million people who witnessed all the Esa Makas, who witnessed Kriyas Hamsuf, who witnessed Maimon HaSinai. So that's why we have to, Adaitim Levanecha, Levanecha, Yom Shar Marato, we should tell over, so the Ramban understands, you should tell over by laning this from the Sefer Torah, just like Parsha Zohar, you should lay Mitoch HaKzav. And I think the Magen Avraham quotes that there's such a medrash in the Psikta that says like that, there's an obligation to lane once a year. See, by Parsha Zohar, the Sefer HaChinuch is Mesupik. How often do you have to lane Parsha Zohar? Is it once in a lifetime? Is it every couple of years? Or maybe it's even once a year, every year, like the Chachamim one Misakin. So the fact that the Chachamim one Misakin, you have to lane Parsha Zohar once a year, every year. The Shabbos immediately prior to Purim, that's clearly only by the Rabbanan. That's not Minat Torah, because Purim is not the Raisa. Before the days of Esther, they didn't have to lane Parsha Zohar. The Shabbos before Purim, there was no Purim. So that part is only with the Rabban. But the Sefer Chinuch raises the possibility. Maybe it's once a year, every year, because you shouldn't forget. Lo Sishkach, and the Chasam Sefer has like that, the Dushir Shikcha is Yud Beis Chodesh. If a person lost an Aveda, usually, when someone dies, so the death is fresh for the first year, and after the year is up, then you forget about the person. That's why the minig was for many generations that you put the matzeva, and Eretz the minig is not like this, but they would put up the matzeva around the first yortzeit. Some had the minig, Rabbi Kivegan Yeredeya, on the bottom of the page writes, some had the minig that you put up the matzeva soon before the first yortzeit, some had the minig after the first yortzeit. Some had the minig before that you shouldn't forget the person. And some had the minig after the first yortzeit, we've already forgotten the person. After Yud Beis Chodesh, the Mesis Mishtakech, we forgot a little bit, so then we want to remind ourselves again. So here, so that's what the Chasam Sefer suggests, Pshat, in this comment of the Sefer Achinuch. Maybe it's once a year, every year, because Yud Beis Chodesh is the Shir Shikcha. Then he raises the question, but if you have a Shana Muberes, then you have 13 months. So it's more than Yud Beis Chodesh. So you should have to lane twice. And he says, we do lane twice. We lane Parsha Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim. Then we lay in at the end of Parsha Kiseitze. According to the Magen Avraham, you can be out to Parsha Zohar by laying in the end of Parsha Bishalach. So it's three times a year. And then you're laying Bishalach on Purim in the morning. So it's four times a year. Okay. So it's either twice a year or four times a year. So the Magen Avraham quotes a psik that says exactly like that. You have to lay in Parsha's Maimon HaSinai once a year, every year. That sounds like he means on Shavuos. It doesn't sound like he means on Parshas Yisro and on Parshas Vaschanan from the Psikta. You shall lane once a year, every year. And when I will consider it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will consider it as if you stood at Har Sinai again, as if you're reliving the Kabbalah Sotar at Har Sinai. So this Shabbos, we have to have in mind that we're not only Yotze, the mitzvah, the Rabbanan of Parshas HaShavua, we're Yotze, the mitzvah, the Raisa, of listening to the Kriya of us, of Maimon HaSina. Pashtus in the Psikta is that it goes on Shavuos, but you can be outside this time of the year also. The Pasuk uses the singular, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Hahor, in the singular. Why in the singular? First it says, Vayachnu Bamidbar. Vayachnu in the plural. Then it switches in the same Pasuk, Vayichan Sham Yisrael. So Rashi quotes from the Chazak, Yish Echad Balev Echad. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. There's a line in Rav Sadia Gaon's Emunas V'Deis. Emunas V'Deis is written in Arabic, but we use the Hebrew translation. In the Hebrew translation, he writes, Eino Masenu Uma Elo B'Tayrosa. Rav Soloveitchik used to translate. Others say that it doesn't mean this at all. It means a totally different thing. Rav Soloveitchik used to quote that line in Rav Sadia Gaon to imply this meaning, that by the Uma Salem, there's no concept of a tzibur. That's a Gemara in the last Perek in Nazir. The concept that a lot of people join together and there's a Tzirif HaTzibur is only by the Jewish people. The Gemara explains why the last Perek in Nazir is Perek HaKusim, that the Nochrim don't have an institution of Naziris. Because the Nazir only, the institution of Naziris, based on the Psukim Chumash, only applies if the person belongs to a Kohol. And the concept of Kohol only applies to the Jewish people. So really, we're the only Goy in the world. Goy is Miloshen Gevia, from a body, that you have a big population of people, and you treat everybody as if it's one Goy, as if it's one Gevia. Gevia is a body in Biblical Hebrew. Gevi nasati le'makim. My body is open, and people are beating me up. Gevi, Gevia, tumas agvia. So this idea of a group of people have a din as if it's one group, as if they're one entity, only applies by Menei Yisrael, doesn't apply to the Umas HaOlam. So that's what Rav Sadia Gaon is raising in question. What is the glue that's mitzarev Klal Yisrael together? So he says, the Dovah HaMitzarev is the Torah. Eina Maseinu Huma, Ela B'Torosa. So that's how you read this pasuk. Vayachnu Bamidbar, in the plural. But then they're about to be Mekabel HaTorah. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged HaHor, because they're about to be Mekabel HaTorah. The Torah is mitzarev everybody, that it's in the singular. Ki Yish Echad B'Leivach. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that that's, he suggested that that's the reason why the Chazan hold this Shabbos, the Shabbos Mevorchim, Rosh Chodesh Ador. Next Shabbos is going to be Rosh Chodesh Ador. So the meaning is that the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah. He says, Chaverim Kol Yisrael B'Nayim Ramein. Then you declare when Rosh Chodesh is. So what is that all about? So he used to say that you hold on to the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is a mitzaref of all of Klal Yisrael. Einu Maseinu Uma Ela B'Toy Rosso. It doesn't necessarily mean the Sefer Torah. It means the fact that we have the Torah, but the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah. And then he says, Chaverim Kol Yisrael, all of Kol Yisrael, all over the world, are all united. We all constitute one Goy. But the Umas HaOlam, it's a Loshon Mushal. We call them Goy Hu Arotze. It's a borrowed expression. Really, the only Goy is the Jewish people. We're the only Goy in the whole world. The others are Mishpucha Yisrael Adama. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu. Lech lecha me'artzcha me'melaretcha ve'eschcha le'goy gadol. I will make you into a goy. V'nivuchu kol Mishpucha Yisrael Adama. The others are Mishpachas. The others are not goy. In Mishpacha, there's a din. Mishpacha sab kruyim Mishpacha. Mishpacha same ain't a kruyim Mishpacha. So let's say if you have an Amaleki marries a girl who's who not an Amalekis. What's the status of the children? You have the father and the mother belong to different nationalities. So how do you determine what's the status of the children in a mixed marriage? So the Gemara learns that from Psukim. If there's a mixed marriage where both parents are not Jewish, the status of the children is determined by the father. And the Rishonim say, why? They're on the Rif. And the end of Kiddushin says, why is that so? Because Mishpacha Sab Kuyim Mishpacha, Mishpacha Seim Eine Kuyim Mishpacha. You're determining Mishpacha Yisrael Adama. What Mishpacha does the Goy belong to? But by Jewish people also. So if the both parents are Jewish, and you're determining is the child a Kohen, a Levi, is he a Shevet Binyamin, a Shevet Zvulun? So that's the Pasuk in the very beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, and Mishpacha Yisrael Leveis Avaisam. That's a function of Mishpacha. But if you have a mixed marriage where one parent is Jewish, one is not Jewish, and you're determining what's the status of the children, so there nobody says. There were three opinions in the Gemara. How do you determine the status of the children by mixed marriage? One opinion, like the Reform have accepted now, that either the father or the mother, either the father or the mother. One opinion was that you have to have both parents have to be Jewish in order that the children should be Jewish. And the accepted opinion, the way it says, that it all depends on the mother. But there never was an opinion that it all depends on the father. Isn't that strange? By the Goyim, it all depends on the father. And if both parents are Goyim, if both parents are Jews, it all depends on the father. Nobody holds on. Why not make all the Dinim the same? The answer is that to determine whether a person is Jewish or not is not a function of Mishpacha. You can have a Gersh and his Geyer. He's not Mishpacha Sayyudim at all. He's not related to anybody in the whole wide world. Gersh and his Geyer cut and Shinoda Dami. He no longer is related to his previous relatives. He didn't get married yet. Doesn't have a wife, doesn't have children. He's not related to anybody. And still he's Jewish. It's a function of belonging to this nation. So that's why there never was a fourth sheet. And no one ever said mishpacha sabkui and mishpacha, that in a mixed marriage, but one parent, that is that the children should be determined by the father, because being Jewish is not a function of mishpacha. Which nation of goyim we belong to? That's mishpacha. So the only goy is miloshin gviya, that all the people constitute one big entity, it's one unit. That's only by the Jewish people. So that's what, based on the pasuk vayachnu vayicham sham, he switched from the plural to the singular. Eino masayno uma ela b'tayros. I think others understand that Rav Sadia Gaon meant something else, but that's how Rav Soloveitchik used to explain. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael, Atem tiyulim amlechas kohanim migoy kadosh. When was this announced? So this was the second day in Chodesh Sivan. That's why we call the second day Yom HaMiyuchas. First day in Chodesh Nisan, first day in Chodesh Sivan is Rosh Chodesh. And then you have the next day is Yom HaMiyuchas, then you have Shloshes Mei Hagbola, and then you have the next day is Shavuos. So why do we call this Yom HaMiyuchas? Traditionally, in Yiddish folklore, they give two different explanations. One explanation is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared us, Atem Tuyuli Mamlechas Koinim Igoy Kodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Yichas on that day. Historically, he gave us the Yichas on that day. Others explain that the reason why it's called the Yom HaMiyuchas, what is Yichas all about? If a person is a nobody, but his ancestor, he's a descendant from a holy tzaddik, or he has a big yichus. His son is a big talmid chacham. His son is a prominent individual. So yichus means I'm related. My ancestors or my descendants are important people, but I'm nobody special. So that's what others explained, that the shloshes mei hagbola had a special status. Those were the 3 days preparation for Shavuos. Rosh Chodesh Sivan has a special status. Rosh Chodesh has kedushas hayom. The second day of Sivan is nothing special. But since it's sandwiched in between Rosh Chodesh and the Shloshes Mei Hagbola, so we call it the Yom HaMiyuchas. It has yichus. Means has yichus. It's the day after Rosh Chodesh and it's the day before the Shloshes Mei Hagbola. But nothing special happened on that day. So that's the Gemara has such an idea. If you have 2 days. In the Chumash, we have all the Yamim Tovim list, the Apesel Shavuos Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's all. And then with the Rabbanim, is Man Bayishena, they introduced all the Yamim Tovim on Megillas Tainus. So the Gemara has, and now we don't observe any of those. The Gemara comes, and in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Batal Megillas Tainus. After the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, all the Yamim Tovim on Megillas Tainus cease to exist, with the exception of Chanukah and Purim, that those we still observe. So the Zman that they still observe the Yom Tovim Megillas Tainus, Zman Bayisheni, so sometimes there would be a long stretch, a Yontov of Megillas Tainus, and then there would be another Yontov of Megillas Tainus. There would be one day in between, only one day in between one Yontov and another. Not all the Yom Tovim were one day. Some were 3 days, 5 days, 8 days. Chanukah is 8 days. So the Gemara says, if you have one day sandwiched in between two Yom Tovim of Megillas Tainus, since the day before is a yontif, the day after is a yontif, so that day also you treat it, you leave out tachnun on that day also. So that's the minig, that on Rosh Chodesh Sivan we don't say tachnun. Every Rosh Chodesh you don't say tachnun. And on the Shlosh and Mei Hagbola, that's like a yontif. Those Shlosh and Mei Hagbola are preparation for Shavuos, for Kabbalah Satorah. So the second day of Sivan is in between Rosh Chodesh and the Shlosh and Mei Hagbola. So because it's sandwiched in between the two, so that's why we leave at Tachnun on that day as well. Yeah, Rav Soloveitchik said that his family meaning was that they did say Tachnun on the second day of Sivan. He said that it's not really true. The Shloshes Mei Hagbola, there's a machlokes in the Gemara. When was the Torah given? Gemara said they all agree the Torah, Maimon Hasina, was on Shabbos. But there's machlokes in the Gemara on Shabbos, on Daf Peches. Was Kabbalah Sator was on Shabbos? Was it Vav Sivan or Hey Sivan? Was it Vav Sivan or Zion Sivan? So the Gemara says, the Maskana Halacha L'maisa, we assume that it was Zion Sivan. That's why the Magana Ram asked the Kasha, how can we say on Shavuos, Sma Mantan Taraseinu, it's not true, Matan Taraseinu was Zion Sivan. So the Magana Ram quotes an answer from the Mekubalim, because we observe Yantav Shena Shal Goliath, so we observe Shavuos on Vav Sivan and on Zion Sivan, so this Zman Matar Seinu is the Yontav Sheni de Rabbanon, is Man Matan Torasein. We call the first day also, but really it's the Zayin Siv and it's Man Matan Torasein. So the Shloshes Mehagbala were really not Gimel Dalet Hey, it was Dalet Hey Vav. In Kabbalah Sotar was on Zayin Sivan. Zayin Sivan was Takan Shabbos. Because it was Chodesh, it was on a Sunday, so Zayin Sivan was on Shabbos. They said the way we pass on La Locha, we assume, when you get to Palet to Sheikh Vazera, how long the Sheikh Vazera is potent. So we assume that Kabbalah Sotar was on Zayin Sivan, so the Shloshes Magbalah were Dalet Hey Vav. So if you have 2 days in between Rosh Chodesh and Shloshes Me'agbalah, then you don't delete Tachnin in between. So he said, it's not really true that Gimel Dalet Hey was Shloshes Me'agbalah. It's really Dalet Hey Vav. And his family meaning was that they did say Tachnin on what we call the Yom HaMiyuchas. Moshe Rabbeinu presents the deal to the Bnei Yisrael, so they all say Nasa v'nishma. Later on, it says Nasa v'nishma. The pasuk sounds like Vayan kol ha'am yachtov. Pasuk ches Vayan kol ha'am yachtov. Yom kol shidib Hashem Nasa v'nishma. Nasa. It sounds like everybody said. So there's a famous comment that the Mabit has. The Mabit was together with Rabbi Yosef Karo in the Beis Din in Tzfat in the 1550s. So he wrote a sefer that's called Beis Elokim. He wrote a sefer on the Rambam, Kiryas Sefer. They didn't become so popular. It's not at all as good as the Kesem Mishnah. Kesem Mishnah has on every single Rambam. It gives you what's the mocker. Is it a Mishnah? Is it a Gemara? Is it a Tosefta? Is it a Yerushalmi? Is it a Tshuvas Hagoyim? Does the Ramban agree? Does the Ramban disagree? Kesem Mishnah has everything. Mabit has here and there. He writes chidushim. It's not really as good a commentary as the Kesem Mishnah. Kesem Mishnah has straight, but Mabit wrote the sefer Beis Elokim. Now it's available in with nekudas, easy reading. So the Mabit has a sefer on Hashkofer, and he explains how do we understand the phenomenon that so many non-Jews are converting to become Jews and so many Jews are converting out to join other religions. Why don't people just stay where they are? Why is everybody looking to switch? So he says, when the Rabbanu Shlomo offered the Torah to all the different nations, they all turned it down. Every single nation, everybody in all the other nations turned it down. Misama Ruba Kukula, the rov of each nation turned it down. But there must have been a miyut of people who didn't want to accept the Torah. But since the rov didn't want, so it was a democracy, so they didn't accept. And every single Jew called Layan Kal Ha'am Yachtov. So every single Jew wanted the Torah. Interesting. So he thinks that not. He thinks there must have been a minority of Jews that didn't want to accept the Torah. But because the majority wanted it, so it says, Layan Kal Ha'am Ruba Kukuloi. So they all accept it. So the Rebbe Shlomo wants to see to it that before Achris Hayomim, everybody will belong in the camp where they should have. Everybody will be in the camp where they belong. So those Jewish people who are descendants of the original Jews and never want to accept the Torah in the first place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to that they should convert out. And those Nochrim who are descendants of the original Nochrim, who did want to accept the Torah, but the majority of their nation didn't want, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to that they should convert and they should join. This vart is famous in the name of the Ger Tzedek, the Vilna Ger Tzedek, Graf Potocki. He was from a royal family in Poland. He converted to become a Jew, and it was against the law. And they found him, and they burnt him at the stake. They killed him because he converted to Judaism. So they attribute this statement to him. But it appears I think the day that he was burnt is when Rav Chaim Volozhiner was born, something like that. That was in that period, but the Mabit lived 2 centuries earlier. This is in the Mabit Sefer Beis Elokim. There was a special din. People and animals were not allowed to go on Har Sinai, and if anyone goes on Har Sinai, Sokol Yisok, how does it say? No one's allowed to go up on Har Sinai. So the Gemara in the end of the first Pirkei Sanhedrin raises the question, we have a pasuk, Asher Yisalka v'gam v'ol of Yumas, K'misas ha'baylam kach misa Asher. That's in the opening Mishnah, and Sanhedrin has like that. That just like to give the death penalty to Yisrael, you need a Sanhedrin of 23. So to be Gamedin of Asher HaNiskal, you need a Sanhedrin of 23. Sanhedrin K'tanus. Sanhedrin K'doyla is Ayin Aleph. Sanhedrin K'tanus Chav Gimel. So the Gemara has this, and there's such a pasuk by Asher HaNiskal, Shor Shahar Gesa Odom. And such a pasuk by Shor HaNirva, Ravei HaNirva also. Harakta Seisha Sabema Taharogu. So that's a hekesh, just like Harakta Seisha, you need a bezna of 23. So Sabema Taharogu also, you need a bezna of 23. So Gemara has a suffix, what's with Shor Sinai? Shor Sinai, we don't have any hekesh. They need a bezna of 23, or is enough with a bezna of 3? So Tesis Anad Gemara asks, my the Habi Habi, it's ancient history. Learning Torah is only a kiyum of Talmud Torah if you're learning halacha l'maisa, something that's negeh l'dina, just to philosophize about what was, what's going to be, limos ha-mashiach, what's going to be. That's hilchus of the mashiach. Also, what are you talking about? So Shor Sinai was once in the history of the world. So why does the Gemara discuss it? So there's a famous Me'iri. The Me'iri has a chiddush din. Pashtus is not like the Me'iri. He thinks that this din, that Lasiga Boyad, was not a Hayru Ashur that only applied on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, and no one should walk up in HaSinai. It applies even the Duris in the Beis HaMikdash. No one's allowed to touch the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. Someone touches the walls, so the Chayiv Misa. So the Gemara Sofik, Shor Sinai Bekam, applies even Mizman HaZef, to Shor will touch the walls. That's Kul HaChiddush. The Pashtus is not like the Me'iri. So that's not a problem. That's what Tosha discusses. The Gemara asks in different places. The Gemara asks, "My Dave Havi." When you talk about the Shaila, what was the din in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? But it's not a din l'daris. It's only a Rosh Hashanah. So that's not considered Talmud Torah. That's a discussion in history. Pasuk says when the Jewish people were about to receive the Torah at Har Sinai, "Vayis Yatzu B'Sach Disahor." That's the end of Pasuk Yud Zayin. In chapter Yudes, what does it mean, betachte sahar? So the Pashup Shat means, beragle hahar, Rashi writes, at the foot of the mountain. And the Gemara, and Rashi says, umidrashai, the Gemara has another level of interpretation, shenitlash hahar mimikaymai, v'nichba aleihem kegigas, kaf aleihem har kegigas. They stood betachte sahar, beneath Har Sinai. Kodesh Baruch Hu picked up Har Sinai, and he threatened that if the Jewish people don't accept the Torah, he's going to kill everybody. So that's what the Gemara says, Kof Aleim Har Kegigas. The Rabbanu Shel Olam forced the Torah upon us. Tosfos asks, Anad Gemara, why do they have to force the Torah? The Pasuk says they all said Na'aseh V'Nishma. Why was it necessary to force the Torah? So the commentaries tell you to look in the Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Noach, on Simon Gimel, paragraph number 3 there, where the Medrash Tanchuma has a very fascinating idea. That when Moshe Rabbeinu presented the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, so they said, what does it say? It tells them what it says in the Chumash, Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras HaMishpachim. So they said, easy shmeezy, Na'aseh V'Nishma, not so hard. Then he said, wait a minute, but there's a Mishnah Berurah, and there's a Darkei Tshuva, and there's a Yerideya for Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, and Pischei Tshuva on the Yerideya, and Darkei Tshuva on the Yerideya, a lot of Achranim. So it's so complicated, so detailed. So they said, we don't want to accept it. That's too detailed. It's too much. So that was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigas on the Torah Shebal Peh. And then the Gemara said, Hada Kiblu B'Me'ach HaShverish, even though on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, they didn't accept Torah Shebal Peh B'Ratzon. It was forced upon them. But after the Nes Purim, then they were Mekabala Torah Shebal Peh B'Ratzon. That was Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh B'Ratzon. And that's why we usually assume the main development of the Torah Shebal Peh seems to have taken place after the Nes Purim. Why? Because they were never, according to this Medrash Tanchum, because they were never Mekabel, a Torah Shabbat Peh Beratzen. So they had the Halachas L'Moshe Messina, they had a couple of dinim were developed. We have traditions, there's a Mishnah in Shkolim, Zem Medrash Torah Yehoyod HaKoyin. Yehoyod HaKoyin is mentioned in the Haftarah Shabbos Parsha Shkolim, and the Mishnah in Shkolim has that he darshan a certain din that's accepted L'Halacha. He developed dinim. They had dinim derabbanan also in the days of David HaMelech. David HaMelech died on Shabbos. There was an issue of muktzah, and his body was mutal b'cham, and is going to decompose. So Shlomo HaMelech asked the Chacham what to do. They had a couple of dinim derabbanan already then, had a little bit of the development of the Torah Shebaal Peh, but the main development of the Torah Shebaal Peh was after the Nes Purim. Nes Purim was before, right, soon before the Binyan Bayis Sheni, just a few years before. So that's usually assumed to be the reason why, because on the occasion of the Nes Purim, then they're mekabel the Torah Shebaal Peh beratzon, so that's why it was developed much more. In the Akdomah to the Shev Shmaitze, written by the Tzoyis HaChoshen, he writes about Ruba Chazaka, Svek Sveka, Sofik the Raisa Lechumra, all the Klolim. So in the Hagdomah to the Shesh Matzi, he writes that the Minig HaMechabim is that you write Mili Da'agarata in the Hagdomah. So he writes also Mili Da'agarata. So he quotes this Kasha from Taisus. Why did the Rabban Shalom have to be Kof Aleim Harki Gigas? They said Nasva Nishma. They said they accepted the Torah. So he quotes, I think he quotes from the Gurarye, from the Maharil, from the Marami Prague. I think he quotes from the Gurarye from the Marami Prague. Gurarye is a commentary on Pirush Rashi al HaTorah. So on this Rashi, the Gurarye says, the Rebbe Shalom wasn't going to give the Torah to a people if they're not going to accept it. The way the Medrash said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the different nations, and they turned it down. If he wanted, he could have forced it on the other nations also. But it's not going to work if they're not interested, so they're not going to observe it. So first he offered it to the Jewish people, and they said, yeah, Nasim and Ishma, we accept it. But then we shouldn't mistakenly think that we're obligated to observe mitzvahs because it's a hischaivis midas, because we accepted it beratzen. No, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced it upon us. It's a tziva min hashamayim. I remember there used to be a professor at Yeshiva University who was a big Am HaAretz, so he would teach in his course in the college. So he would teach in his course that what's the most important mitzvah from all the 613 mitzvahs? Motzus asecha tishmar. If you take a neder, you have to observe your neder. So he says, whenever a child becomes bar mitzvah, he commits himself to observe the mitzvahs. And that's why there's a din that minig oika halacha. If the minig is that we don't observe a certain din, so when the child becomes bar mitzvah, he doesn't accept that din. He only accepts 612 dinim. And he gave an example of minig oika halacha, that the din is on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook any food, but if you have a blech, you're allowed to cook food. Why? Ah, it's a nisa bishul, you're not allowed to cook food. The answer is minig oika halacha. The whole thing is wrong from the beginning to the end. The whole thing is ridiculous. So the obligation to observe mitzvahs is not because we're mekabel beratzen, not because the Rebbe Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu, present the Torah to the Jewish people, see if it's going to work. So when they said Nasim and Ishma, that's not the Mechayiv. Nasim and Ishma said, we're a candidate. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I see you're interested. Therefore, I am Mechayiv you. I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am the boss, and I'm Mechayiv you. You have to observe all the mitzvahs of Torah. We shouldn't think that it's a Hischayvus Midas. There's an interesting idea that the Avne Miluim is a sefer by the author of the Tzai Sachoshin, on Evan Ha'ezer. So every 50 pages or so, the Avne Miluim has a kasha, and he'll answer the kasha by quoting the Ran and the Dorim. On Daf Lamed, on Daf Chav Tes, there's a Ran and the Dorim who explains, a get can be given by korcha of the isha. Kiddushin you can't do by korcha of the isha. The girl has to agree. But the Ran and the Dorim says, not that you need das ha'chosn and das ha'kala, you need das ha'both. You need das, just like the get, you only need das habal. So kiddushin also is accomplished only with das habal. But you can't be mekabes the girl bal korcho. So if the girl agrees to marry him, the Ran has an expression, it's as if she's mafkeres as atzma, as if she's mafka herself. And then the chosen is mekadesher, his das does the kiddushin. So that's exactly what it was at Maimon HaSinai. Maimon HaSinai was like the marriage between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rebbeinu Shlom can't marry us bal korchenu. So we said nasu nishma. So we mafkir us atzmenu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says haret mekudeshesli. He marries us. So he did it bal korchenu. But it couldn't be bal korchenu. First you have to say nasu nishma to be maskim. So what happened over here, Harsina, was what happens in every marriage. The girl has to consent to marry the boy, but then the boy does the whole kiddushin without the asa ishim. One of the first perek in Chagiga has an interesting comment on the Loshim that it appears the introductory pasuk to the Aseres HaDivis Vayedabal Kemis Kol HaDvarim HaEla Leymar. What do you mean, Kol HaDvarim HaEla? So Rashi quotes a comment from the Mechilta, Kol Hador Ma'ele. All the Aseres HaDibros are interconnected. That's one pshat. That's an important point. But the Gemara has another, the Gemara in the first parak in Chagiga has a different comment, that we have a concept of Eilu Eilu Dibri Likim Chaim, that the Gemara says, lest the person will say, how can I succeed in learning Torah? There's so many different opinions. Everything is mutal machloikas. So the Gemara says, no, by Dabal Kim is kol advarim ha'ela. Not only Shitas Besila was said, Shitas Beshama was also said. Eilu Eilu Dibri Likim Chaim. Does mean that you have a right to paskin whatever you don't please. We have principles that determine how to paskin halachah. But it means Dibri Likim Chaim means when you study the Shitas of Beshama, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Even though it's not accepted halachah, it's a chefta shel Torah. Even though there's no chavis agavah to observe it. And we have a lot of nafkaminas in this. The Mishkan is Yankiv has a sefer on brachas that's called Koheles Yankiv. If the sefer has tshuvas that apparently were not included in the Mishkan is Yankiv, then the other half of the sefer is a commentary on brachas, very beautiful, and on other mesichtas and seder moed, it's very useful. So on brachas, towards the end of the first parak, has a long piece on this, Eilu Eilu Dibri Likim Chaim. It has six dinim that are based on this idea of Eilu Eilu Dibri Likim Chaim, Halach Lamaisa. It's an important concept in halach. So then the pasuk introduces the Aseres HaDibros. There's an interesting Ran in Nedarim. The Ran quotes from the Gaonim that if a person takes a shvuah b'nikita, we have a concept of hataras Nedarim, hafaras Nedarim. A daughter or a wife takes a neder or a shvuah, so sometimes the husband or the father has the right. Not always. Depends. Dvarim shabinah l'binah nidri in a nefesh. The husband or the father has the right to be mefer the nedarim. Or if a person takes a neder, he can go to Bez and make a hataras nedarim. So there was in the days of the Goyim, there was such an opinion. We don't hold like this. The Ran said, we don't pass like this. That if you take a shvua b'nikitas chayfetz, the Gemara says, when you have shvuas hadayonim, when they make a person swear shvuas made of a mitzvah, so shvuas eidecha, the shvuas hashaimim, has to hold on to a sefer Torah or a pair of tefillin. It means that it's a more serious shvua. Shvua b'nikitas chayf, it's more serious. That's where the practice comes from. That you swear, you put when they swore in the president of the United States and they swore in the senators, so they had to put their hand on a Bible. The Bible is a shvua b'nikitas chayf. It doesn't mean, shvua b'nikitas chayf doesn't mean you have to hold on to the sefer. You put your hand on the sefer, it's also called b'nikitas chayf. So the Ran quotes an opinion from the days of the Goyim. Shvua b'nikitas chayfetz al pidin is considered more serious than below nikitas chayfetz. So such a shvua doesn't lend itself neither to hatorah nor to hafara. And he says we don't accept that opinion. We pass on l'alocha that it does have. So what's an example of a shvua b'nikitas chayfetz? So the Gemara shvua says shvua sadayonim b'nikitas chayfetz. You put your hand on a sefer Torah. Or if that's for Balabas, a Tamachacham, he can put his hand on a pair of tefillin. It's also called Nikitas Chayfetz. So the Ran gives an example from the days of the Goyim. He's holding an Aseres HaDibros. He puts his hand on an Aseres HaDibros. What do you mean? He used to write Aseres HaDibros on a piece of paper, on a parchment. And that's how Pidin plays a role. We don't have such an idea at all that should be considered a Tashmishe Kedusha. The din is you're not allowed to write less than a sefer shalom. A lot of people have psukim in the sukkah, masukas teshvu, or they have on the talis ekel, also lehem tzitzis, or on an esrog box, pre-etzodar. Pre-etzodar, you could say, is just an expression. But let's say you have on a lulav bag, it says, alakachton lehem bayam arishin. So you're not allowed to quote, not only because it's a half a pasuk, you're not allowed to quote less, you're not allowed to write less than a sefer shalom, unless you're in the Gemara, you always have less than the Sefer Shalom. That's for the purpose of making a drasha. We say the pasuk says, "Idavel kim es kol adurim ha'ele." Kol means "Elu elu divel kim chaim." You don't want to write the whole Sefer Shmos. You want to quote one phrase from the pasuk. So you're going to lose the whole meeting if you're going to quote the whole Chumash Shmos. But if it's not necessary for developing an idea in Torah, then the din is that you're not allowed to write less than a Sefer Shalom. Unless it's really a great tzorech, then the Gemara says they were mekel. Let's say this Shabbos is Shabbos Parshas Yisro. So why do you need a whole Sefer Torah? Just have a klaf Parshas Yisro. Gemara says, no, if you only have Parshas Yisro, that's a Kriya Bal Peh. It's only called Kriya Mitoch HaKsav. You have a whole Sefer Shmos. Can you learn from this Shabbos? Can you learn from a Chumash Shmos? If you have a Sefer Torah, not Chamishu Chumash Torah, just have Chumash Shmos alone on a klaf, written properly. So the Gemara in Hanizokin discusses it. The Gemara says, no, they cover a Tzibur. They cover a Tzibur. That's a question. Does the tzibah have the right to be mochal on their covered? What does it mean, covered at tzibah? It looks as if they can't afford to have a whole sefer Torah, but all the chamishu chumashim, the glila achas. Is that what it means? Perhaps it means something more than that. From the Rambam, we discussed on other occasions, as the Rambam seems to hold that on the occasion of Maimon Hasinan says, Moshe Rabbeinu read from the Sefer HaBris, the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it says like that. So what is the Sefer HaBris? Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, from Bereshis till Parshas Yisro, that was the Sefer HaBris. At the end of the 40 years of traveling in the Midbar, so the halacha changed, and the Sefer HaBris was the whole Chamishu Chumshit Torah. As it said, Ve'ikach alas Moshe Lichta, was called the Ratar Rezos Atumam, when Moshe Rabbeinu finished, Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated to him all the different Parshas, and then he tells him what order to put it in. So Moshe Rabbeinu finished writing the whole Chamishu Chumshit Torah Atumam. So he says to the Kohanim and Levi, they should take it, put it b'tzad Aron Bris Hashem, Oyosham B'chol Yeh. This became the Sefer HaBris. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, Sefer HaBris consisted of the Chumash from Bereshis till Yisro. And at the end of the Aboim Shana, the Sefer HaBris was Ol Chamishu Chamshin Torah. So the Bris was made with the Tzibur, like we say, and the Bris was not made with individual Jews. It was made with the whole Klal Yisrael as a nation. As we say in the Bracha, Hashem Bracha Banim Kol Amim, Nasan Lanu Es Tayrosa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Jewish people as a nation, then he gave the Nasan Lanu Es Tayrosa, he gave the Torah to the nation of the Jewish people. It could be that that's what the Gemara meant to say. The Kavod HaTzibur doesn't mean it looks as if the Tzibur can't afford. It's a bizoy and it's a busha for the Tzibur, and the Achrayim have a discussion, maybe they can be Mochel on the Kavod. Maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe what it means is, they have to, the Takonas Chachamim was, that since the bris was made with the Jewish people as a nation, so when they fulfilled the mitzvah, Kriyas HaTorah, B'tzibur, they have to learn from a Sefer HaBris. So that's why they can't learn just from a Chumash Mos. But if you have only Parshas Yisro written, that's called Kriya Bal Peh. That's if you learn from a printed Chumash. That's also called Kriya Bal Peh. It's only called Kriya Meter Chaksav if it's written properly and has a Kedusha Sefer. So the... So that Ran in a dorm is very strange. He quotes from the Goyim that a person takes a shvua benikitas chayfetz. He gives an example of benikitas chayfetz. You have aseres adibros. What do you mean? A person writes aseres adibros. That's less than a sefer shalom. You can write a mezuzah. You can write tefillin. That's halacha. You have to write tefillin and a mezuzah. Is there a din that if you write aseres adibros has a special status, or it's all bal peh? It's less than a sefer shalom, so it doesn't have any status at all. Pashta says you're not allowed to write it. Pashta says a lot of people write the Parshas Haktoris, because Haktor Yasim Haktor BeApehu Chalal Mizbechecha Baruch Hashem Chelo. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Mizayis Abrocha that the one is Makti Haktoris, it's a Zgula for Ashiris. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Yom Chadoshim Haktoris Bo'ovu Hafisu. Every day when they had a pious to determine who's going to have the right. Which kohen for the Anshei Mishma, the Kohanim who were serving that day in the Beis Hamikdash, which kohen should have the schus to do Haktoras? So they asked, whoever once had an opportunity to do Haktoras shouldn't be in the pious. We should give a chance to other people because we want to spread the wealth, because Haktoras is a Zgula Farshiris. So they have in Kabbalah sources apparently, even if you're not a Kohen and you're not able, if no Beis Hamikdash, you can't be Makdik Torah, but if you recite the Parshas HaKtoris, it'll be considered as if you brought Torah also as Gula Farshiris. So many people have such a practice that they have written on klaf, they have the Parshas HaKtoris, and then they read it. That's a big problem. You're reading, what do you gain by writing in a klaf? That's like reading from a Sefer Torah printed. It's like reading from a printed Chumash. Printed Chumash is called Kriya Bal Peh. We allow it. If you're going to insist that everybody has to learn from a Sefer Torah, a Sefer Shalem, so we don't know the Trap and we don't know the Nekudas. We're going to make mistakes all over the place. So we're Mekel, just like at the same time they were Mekel to write down the Torah Shebal Peh, Eslas Hashem Eferet Torah Secha, that's the Gemara in Temura in the second Perek. They were Mekel in the days of the Gemara, days of Rabbi Ravashi, they were Mekel to write down the Mishnais. Later in the days of the Goyim, that's when they wrote down the Talmud Bavli. The mazel was that they wrote it down. If they wouldn't have written it down, everything would have been forgotten. But it was a big machlekes at the time whether they should be permitted to write it down. So they wrote it down. So included in the heter of writing down Torah Shebaal Peh was that you're allowed to recite psukim and chumash from a printed chumash, even though it's not a sefer shalom, even though it doesn't have a kedusha sefer Torah. But the pashtus is if you have just a klaf that has the pit makteris, pashtus says you shouldn't be allowed to do that. Very strange. They say the Chazanish also approved it. I don't understand how that can be. I would think that that is not permissible. Anyway, then the Torah has the Aseres Adibros. The Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs is unhappy with the Bahag. How come he didn't count Anochi Hashem Elokecha as a mitzvah? That's the Gemara tells us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people 613 mitzvahs because it says Torah Tzivah Lona Moshe. Marosh Akilos Yaakov Torah began Matri 611, and Moshe Rabbeinu told us 611 mitzvahs, and the first two, Anochi v'liyelecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us directly. So you see, Anochi is one, liyelecha is one, and then you have another 611. How can the Bahag not count Anochi Hashem Elokecha? So the Ramban points out that Gemara is Tana problem. What do you mean, Anochi is one, liyelecha is one? You look in the second of the Aseres Adibos, not to believe in Avodah Zorah. Not to make an Avodah Zorah. Is a third. Is a fourth. So there are four lavim in the second one. So what does Gemara say that there are only two? So the Ramban asked that kasha. I don't know what the answer is. The Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvah asks it. It's a kasha on the Gemara. Gemara says, and then the Torah Tzivulonu is 611. Makes adds up to 613. The Rabban himself agrees with the Rambam that Anochi should count as a mitzvah, but he writes in his Hasogas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he writes to defend the Bahag. He says, how can there be, as one of the 613 mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us, he requires of us that we should believe in him. If you don't believe in him, then there's no mitzvah. It's not mitzvah, so there's no mitzvahs. It's not logical. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot commit. I require of you that you have to believe in me. If I don't believe in you, so you don't exist. If you don't exist, so there's no mitzvahs at all. So the Bahag holds. That's how the Ramban is. Bahag holds. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is preamble. That's the introduction to the mitzvah Soteri. You can't say that that's one of the mitzvahs. So it's Taka and Aizen Akasha. So how did the Ramban himself back out? And he holds like the Rambam. He just writes that to defend the Bahag. Why is it just to defend? The Rambam and the Ramban don't make any sense. How can it be a mitzvah to believe in God? So the answer is, it probably is not a mitzvah to believe in God. Mitzvah, that's where Rabbi Chana Basman has a whole essay. The mitzvah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, means we should always be ever aware of that fact. There's a lot of information that you have stored in the back of your mind, but it's not in the forefront of your mind. You're not thinking of it all the time. Like, what's my social security number? So you always forget, I never need it. So once in a long while, I have to fill out some form. I have to look, either I have the card with me. I have to think 25 times till I remember what the social security number is. It's filed away somewhere in the back of my mind. But Anochi Hashem Elokecha means, Shivisa Hashem Lenegdi Samet. That's what it means. We should be ever aware of the existence of God. Not that we should believe that God exists. We know that God exists. We have a historical tradition. We heard from our parents, from their parents, from their parents. We have a historical tradition. There were millions of people, and the Jewish people, the Shishim Reba, men and women, and younger than 20, and older than 60, and the Erev Rav, all these several million people who lived through, who witnessed Esa Makas, Kriyas Yamsa, Maimon HaSinai. So we know that God exists, but we shouldn't be Mesiach Das from it. That's the mitzvah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, always to have it in the forefront of our mind. Doesn't really mean you're not allowed to mention the name of God in vain. It goes on Shavua Shab and Shavua Sheker. The Gemara says the word lashav appears twice. Kiloi nak Hashem es hashiish hashmoi lashav. So the Gemara says the first time lashav means shva shav. The second time it goes amenu in the shav tenei huin in the sheker. So that's how the Unkel is translated. The first time he translates limagona, shva shav. Shva shav is I swear that the sun is shining now. Everybody looks outside. They see the sun is shining. I swear that there's snow in the street. I swear there's no snow in the street in New York. So if it's a shvua, everybody knows what the fact is. It's goli lakol. I swear that Mr. Biden is now the functioning president of the United States. That's a fact. I swear that Mr. Trump used to be the president of the United States. A fact that everybody knows. If everybody knows that it's true, everybody knows not true, that's called the shvua shov. That's a wasted shvua. So there's an iser, lasisa shen shamakech l'Hashem. You shouldn't swear shvua shov because the shvua is always taken shvua b'Hashem. You swear by God. Just like I believe God exists, so too this statement is true. And Shua Sheker is, I say, I swear the election was rigged and it was stolen. So that's a question. Is it true? Not everybody knows. So someone asked me, how much do you earn? I say, the Shiva pays me $1.5 million a month. People don't know if it's true or not true. Maybe it is true. Maybe it is true. It's not true. So that would be a Shua Sheker. Shua Sheker is, not everybody knows that it's not true. So the pasuk really goes not on mentioning the name of God in vain. It goes on taking a shvuah, shvua shav, a shvuah in vain, or the second lashav goes on shvua sheker. Not to mention shem Hashem in vain, that's a different pasuk. Es Hashem alkech atira. Es Hashem alkech atira. Moira Hashem requires that you shouldn't mention shem Hashem unnecessarily. Then we have on the mitzvah Shabbos, the Torah tells us, "Ato bin chavitech avdocha v'amaskam tech megecha shebisharecha." So the Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, "Bin chavitecha" is referring to children before bar mitzvah. The parents ask their children to do malachas for them, but that's an isa deraisa. If the child is already a bar mitzvah, so he's included in ato. You don't need bin chavitecha. So bin chavitecha means the father encourages his children before bar mitzvah. That's what Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, Elo Haktanim, that the adults are not. So what do you need the pasuk? Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva. This part they say Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said also. Rav Chaim Moshe has it in Achiezer. So what do you need a pasuk over here? If the father encourages the child before bar mitzvah to do a malacha for him, to carry his talis to shul or something like that. So the Gemara has a pasuk, a cotton, even though he gave a chinuch, also this pasuk be a daim. You're not allowed to give treifus to a young child. And he said, the Raisa for sure. And he said, the Rabbanon's machlek is the Ramam and the Rashbo. But the Osel is supposed to be a dime. So what do you need a pasuk here by Shabbos? It's a general din and kol atarkula. Lo safina lei be a dime. You're not allowed to encourage a child before bar mitzvah to do an avera. So Rabbi Chaim Moses says, no, it's a unique Shabbos dike isa here. If a father encourages his child to carry the talis for him, the father is machal Shabbos b'fahes hedina ka'akum. And he asks the wine. If it would have been just a general din also, it's supposed to be a daim. The father who would violate would be like he's eating chazer. But it wouldn't be considered that it's mechal Shabbos b'ferhesi dina ka'akum. But now that it's a unique din that's mentioned, repeated over here by Shabbos, means it's a Shabbos dika din. What does it mean? Ger chashe b'sharecha. Ger chashe b'sharecha is ato. If he converted, so the Gemara says, no, ger chashe b'sharecha means a ger toishov. He's not a ger tzedek. A ger toshev doesn't have to observe Shabbos. So what does mean ger chashev b'sharecha? So Tosfos in Yevamos explains ger chashev b'sharecha means that there's an isa amir liyakum on a ger toshev. Called the tikkun rabbanon came there. I said tikkun. A chacham made a din of amir lenochrim and the rabbanon, even if he's not a ger toshev, but it's patterned after the din deraisa. There is a din deraisa that by a ger toshev amir lenochrim would constitute an isa deraisa. The Malamed Lehoyel by Rav David Tzvi Hafman has three halakim. Now they pinned them all in one volume. So in the end, he has a few miscellaneous essays, not really tshuvas halacha ma'aseh. He points out the Rambam in Hilchos Beis Abchira writes about building the mizbeach. So he says when you build the mizbeach, you have to use avnei gozis. So he says, what do you mean avnei gozis? The pasuk lo sivna gozis ki chabachay naftalem atkal aleo. It's against the pasuk in Chumash. Bedavke cannot use avnei gozis. So he says it's a misprint in the Rambam. He says you have to look in the Kisvei Yad. It's clearly a misprint. Bedavke not the pasuk at the end of the sentence. It's based on this pasuk that there is a minig that if the chutei tzitzis are too long today, a lot of people like to have very long tzitzis. What do they think they gain by having long tzitzis? Tzitzis, there's a minimum shear, has to have a minimum length. If it's more than the minimum length, and if you give more, you have a bigger kima mitzvah. But if you have, why doesn't it say chutei tzitzis? So the Yishamli says that the only mitzvahs that are mentioned in the Mishnah, dvarim she'enam shear, if you give more payah, you give more truma, you do more gemilas chasadim, so the more you do, there's a bigger mitzvah. But if you have longer tzitzis, there's no bigger mitzvah. It just looks sloppy. The tzitzis hanging out all over the place, dragging on the floor. It's not a kiyum mitzvah. Anyway, so if a person has very long tzitzis and he wants to shorten, the chutim are too long, so then Shulchan Aruch, they quote the behetiv quotes, the meaning is you don't cut the bottom of the tzitzis with the metal scissors. Yeah. So you cut it with your teeth, or some say you cut it with a plastic knife. You shouldn't use barzel. And then the Beis Yosef also quotes from Rishonim that there's a meaning when you recite Berachas Hamazon, some reason or another, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it doesn't apply on the weekdays. So you shouldn't have the knives on the table uncovered. When it's time to bench, you should cover the knives because the bismancha besamigdash shalikaim the mizbech is mechaper bismancha in besamigdash kam shulchan is shalad mechaper. So the shulchan is like the mizbech. What is shulchan is mechaper? So the rishonim say if you invite aniyim to eat on the shulchan, well, why is the shulchan mechaper? Means if you mekayim tzedakah, if you have poor people eating at the table, then shulchan is mechaper. So just like there's a din kechab b'chay naftaleh v'atchalaleh, you shouldn't use lasib nes and gazes, so you shouldn't have the knives uncovered when you bench. What does that have to do with the benching? You should not allow any knives the whole time. Why Shabbos Yom Tov? It's a big problem. Just one word about the Haftarah. The Haftarah has the famous pasuk towards the end, L'marbe ha-misro u'l'sholom en ketz. So the mem is a mem stuma in the middle of the word. Mem stuma is supposed to be, the Gemara says that you have the final chaf and the final tzaddik. You have final and a final pei. And that's bach, soif mamor, and final mem. So the mem psucha is supposed to be in the middle of the word. Mem stum is supposed to be at the end of the word. Here it's a mem stum in the middle of the word. So the Gemara says, because it's a reference, ki elad yud adlon bein nitan lamati amisra al shich marikrish mapele yatz kel gibar v'yatzar shalom. That's a reference to Chizkiyo HaMelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was planning to make him Mashiach, even though the Gemara had a tradition, the Tanaim had a tradition, that the world is going to last for 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years was Tohu until Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was born in the year 1948, Libriya Soilam, and then at the age of 52, that was the year 2000, he started preaching monotheism on Nefesh HaShe'osa B'choron. He was preaching monotheism publicly. So that's the beginning of the 2,000 years of Torah. Until Avraham Avinu is preaching monotheism, even though he believed in it, that's not called Torah. When he's preaching Torah to the public, that's called Shnei Alofim Torah. Shnei Alofim Torah ends roughly with the death of Rabbi Yudah Anasi, about that time, between the Tanoim and Amoraim. And then begins the Shnei Alofim Imos HaMashiach. The Mashiach, when Rabbi Akiva thought that Bakorchva was the Melech HaMashiach, so the Yerushalmi says that the other Tanoim disagreed with him. The Rambam says that Rabbi Akiva and all the other contemporaries of his thought that Bar Kochba was Mashiach. But the commentaries on the Rambam say it's not true, that only Rabbi Akiva thought. All the other Tanoim disagreed. They didn't support his, they supported his rebellion maybe, but they didn't think that he stood a chance of being Melech HaMashiach because they said we have a tradition. The world is going to last 4,000 years, 6,000 years, and Yemos HaMashiach cannot precede the year 4000. And that story was the year 4000 Libriya was about the time of the death of Rabbi Yudah Anasi. That was way after the married Bar Kochba. Bar Kochba was before. So they all said, we have a tradition. Mashiach is not going to come before the year 4000. It cannot be. So how come over here? How come over here? Kielo Yudah Lanu? So the plan was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to change his program. The program was going to be Mashiach is going to come not before the year 4000. Kadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to make Chizkiyahu HaMelech and Melech HaMashiach. But then when he had the Hatzolah from the enemies who were surrounding Yerushalayim, And he didn't say hello. He closed his mouth. He was soisim. He had a mem stuma instead of having a mem psucha, instead of having an open mouth, instead of saying shira, thanking HaKadosh Baruch, praising HaKadosh Baruch over the Yeshua. He was soisim his mouth. So that's why the whole plan was scrapped. And we lost our opportunity of having Moshiach at that time. So the moral of the story is when HaKadosh Baruch does us chasadim and tevis, we have to thank him. We shouldn't be soisim our mouths. Okay, it's a rich topic to talk about all the Aseres HaDibra some other time, Shavuos time. Okay.
Rabbi, can I ask a shayla?
Sure.
An accountant is in charge. He's supposed to take care of all of his clients' finances and do all of their transactions. And included in that are, and the client is a non-religious Jew. And included in that is he wants him to make all of his interest payments for him. And it seems like he's got a lot of loans that are not, don't have a heteriska. And he's supposed to arrange for the wire transfers from the bank.
Uh-huh. Is he doing an Aveira?
It's a Lifneiver, Misayaya, Lifneiver.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Come on, we've got a lot of time. But I think we assume that he can probably get someone else. He's not enabling him to do the Aveira. He always did the Aveira on his own. He always got someone else to do the Aveira. So probably
it's so the Rabbanan. But what if the client is, so that would work for, based on the Dagmar Vavan Shach, that would work for a non from client.
Yeah.
But if the client is from and just doesn't know about Heteriska,
you got to tell him.
You just got to tell him.
Well.
Also,
and he's a mummer. He never observes that din. So the dogma of Abba says that there's no leaf neighbor, the Rabbanan. Yeah. But if a religious person, you got to tell him.
And a more minor issue, the Varakashras here asked me to ask Rabbi. I don't know if they got a hold of Rabbi yet. But they have these catering events a lot of times, and they have these plastic cups that are made of two pieces. They're martini glasses made of plastic, and there's a base, and then you stick the thing into the base so it could stand up. Otherwise, it would tip over. So they put like a fruit cocktail or something in there. It's not for alcohol usually. So they want to know. Are they allowed to put them together on Shabbos? These cups together on Shabbos, is it Makkah B'Patish?
I don't think so. But it screws in, it's so tight.
You just jab it in there. It stays forever though, because they throw it out afterwards. They don't take them apart to clean it or anything, because they just throw the whole thing out.
Whenever you have a cliche prokem and head yit yochala hachaziro, you don't have to go, if you're assembling an automobile or a television. So that's Makkah B'Patish, because you have to be an expert. You're assembling a watch. But you're opening a sofa or you're such a thing. A child, a 6-year-old can do that. So when it's a hedyot, yochalach zira, it's a din by shviris hakelim and mishnais kelim. Whenever a hedyot, you don't have to be an expert to put it together, then it's not called a klisha nishba. So then there's no ein binyan bekelim. It's not a din of binyan. I don't think it's a problem. If you would screw it in tightly, then, but I don't think it's screwed in tightly. You gotta test it out, you see.
Rebbe had also said at one point, though, that by these cups, where the Rebbe had mentioned this something, the bottoms fall off very often. Like, they don't always stay permanently.
Oh, really?
So I remember, because we were at one of the Kohen Bar Mitzvahs, and the bottom kept falling off of one of the cups.
This is the
type of cup that I think that we're talking about. Rabbi Leibowitz might be talking about something else, but I think that's what he's talking about now.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
We're listening. I thought it ended.
I just wanted to ask the Rav, last week's tape on B'Shalach is not on YU online. How can I get a copy of that from last week's shiur?
I literally just uploaded it. I apologize for the delay. Huh.
Okay, thank you very much. All my feelings should be answered this quickly, Mr.
Can you hear Rothstein?
That was also my good. I was going to ask that also.
I'm sorry. The shiur ends And then it takes an hour or so for the recording to get processed. By the time that happens, my kids are home from daycare and I can't always upload it before
Shabbat. All right, so we should talk. Maybe I'll do it.
Excuse. May I please ask a quick question?
Sure.
Would you mind explaining the sheet of Tosfos, why a cliche is Enem of Ashel?
Tell them to wait.
Will actual Bishul take place?
Yes, it will take place. But since it's Divanus Makaros and it may not happen, so even if it turns out that it did happen, we say end up Bishul Bekach. Therefore, it's muta legamre. It's not just that it's kalach hayad, so it's asim at the rabbanim. If you do a malacha kalach hayad, it's asim at the rabbanim. But here, since it's ain't derech bishul bekach, because the panis makaris may not work, even if that it does work, it's at the gomer. Yeah.
Thank you.
Rabbi? Yes.
Rabbi? Sorry. So would that mean, let's say, someone puts their soup in a klisheni? So would it be mutter to put salt and pepper when the soup is steaming hot, right into the soup?
Yeah, I think so. The Mishnah says that you're permitted to cook to put spices in the klisheni. We have a chumrah not to put, matzah or challah. And the klisheni calls man that it's yatzal lettuce because we have a chumrah that yesh. Bishalacharafia, and because it's a double gush, so it's Mexican mevashon. That's two opinions in Tosfos that we say that it's bishul deklisheni midirabbanon if it's a double gush. Let's say if you have a klisheni burning hot coffee, it's too hot to drink, so I'm going to pour in a little cold water. So even though the water gets yatzal lettuce, so that's muta because the water blends in with the other water. It's not Aymed Bifnei Atzma, but if you put in a Dabar Gush, it's Aymed Bifnei Atzma, so then it's a Dina Bishol Midirabbanan. Even if the thing is already baked, you're going to put in soup nuts, or you're going to put in challah or matzah, it was already baked, so we have a Chum Yesh Bishol Acharafi. But if you're putting in spices that blend in, then you say it's not Nikr, it's not a Dabar Gush Aymed Bifnei Atzma. It's like pouring in water. The water blends in with the rest of the water. So the spices blend in with the soup. So the Mishnah says that you're permitted to put in the spices. Yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Tavlin. Mishnah says Tavlin is muta. Very good. Okay. Everyone should have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Rabbi. Thank you.
Have a good Shabbos. Thank you, Rabbi.
Shabbos.
Thank you.